You glad to be in the house of the Lord? Say hallelujah. Come on, you're going to have to help this little preacher preach a while this morning. Psalms chapter 136, very familiar passage of scripture today. I will read and also we'll go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Psalms 136, you got it? Say, I've got it. God, y'all better catch up. Come on. It's got to be somewhere. Psalms chapter 136, I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. The first four verses of Psalms 136 is trying to or attempting to make a point. Let's go down to verse 23 and read the last four verses of this chapter. Verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, thank God, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord God of heaven. Why? For his mercy endures forever. It seems as if the psalmist is attempting to make or trying to make a specific point, wouldn't you agree? About the mercy of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. For God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The writer's saying this is a gift from God, his grace and his mercy. I want to talk to us, if I can, for the next few moments on this. Heaven has a gift with your name on it. Heaven has a gift with your name on it. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, heaven's got a gift. Come on, help me out a little bit this morning. Heaven's got a gift with your name on it. Hallelujah. I just happen to be a person that absolutely loves this time of year. In fact, I will go so far to say that this time of year happens to be my favorite time of the year. There's just something about this season of Thanksgiving that, of course, leads into the Christmas season. I can't help but agree with the old song we've heard all of our lives, or the words of this old song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I know it sounds a little odd this morning, but I love the decorated trees, the lights, the songs, the tinsel, the wrapping paper. I absolutely love gifts. Most of y'all won't admit that today, but I have a problem. I love gifts. I love the atmosphere that all of these things provide to us all. I would openly admit in front of everybody in this building, for the benefit of my ongoing therapy, I love receiving gifts. And if you say you don't, the devil is a lie, and so are you. Amen. So you're giggling because you know it's the truth. I would venture to say that 99.9% of us here today, you could say without any reserve at all, man, I love when there's a box under that tree and my name is on it. I still shake the boxes. And I'm 52 years old. My kids don't want to put, amen, my gifts in a bag because they know I can take a knife and I can slide across that tape and I can see what's in there. You can just move a little tissue around and you can see what's in the bottom of that bag. They'll catch me. I'm still shaking and listening and wondering, what is that thing inside of there? Is it going to help me or is it going to disappoint me? Am I going to have to put on a face like I love this thing, or is it just going to absolutely be, amen, something that I love, something that I wanted? Come on, is anybody, can you identify with what I'm saying this morning? Amen. There's just something about a gift. There's just something about receiving something that you want more than anything else. Amen. I almost brought a gift today. I didn't know y'all was already decorated and ready for me to come. Amen. Maybe I need to look and see. There may be something up back there with my name on it. I don't know. I'll examine that before I leave today. But everybody in this room, you can honestly say there's just something special about when you receive something. But I will say this without any reserve at all. As much as I love to receive gifts, there's just something about, amen, being able to give a gift. There's just something just a little more special about being able, having the means and the wherewithal, if you will, to be able to give someone a gift. I just love to watch the expression on someone's face when I know, amen, that I'm giving them something that they really, really want or need without the expectation of such gift. I just love Christmas and the season and what the season truly means and what it has provided for us through the birth of Jesus Christ. It allows us to become recipient of things that only heaven can supply and gifts that only heaven can provide us. Amen. Heaven today has a gift, and your name is on that gift. Heaven has supplied and provided some things for everybody in this room. Amen. And nobody is excluded. Your name is on that gift. Some of you walked into this house today in need of things. There's things that you really, really want, but I'll go beyond that and say there are things that you really, really need. And I believe I'm sitting here to remind somebody in this room, amen, heaven cannot only meet your need, heaven can go beyond your need. Heaven can cause things to take place in you that you can't find anywhere else. Clap your hands and love Him this morning. I found myself this past week, in Psalms 136. I love the book of Psalms. I read Psalms quite often. In fact, I probably read the book of Psalms more than any book in the Bible. This past week, I found myself in this chapter, just receiving the much needed reminder that we can't bankrupt heaven when it comes to the mercy of God. If you'll look through Psalms 136, the end of each verse, it says these words, "And His mercy endures forever." There's nothing that you and I could ever do to diminish the mercy of the Lord. Amen. The Word of God tells us that His mercy is even made new for us each and every morning. When you get up in the morning, there's brand new mercy that is provided for you. You can never diminish the mercy of the Lord. Then I found myself in Ephesians chapter 2 reading about the grace of God, how His grace is a gift that we all can freely receive. Amen. Everybody in this house, everybody under the sound of my voice, have been a recipient of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Can anybody agree with me this morning? Can we look back over our shoulder into the past, maybe the distant past, or maybe it's been the recent past, and see times and see a situation that if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of God, you wouldn't even be here this morning? I don't think there's enough preaching on the grace and mercy of God. Come on, it's not only a gift, but it is an immeasurable gift. There's nothing any sweeter. There's nothing any more precious. There's nothing any more beautiful than the grace and mercy of God in action. I remember when I came to God, when I was raised in church, amen, but my teenage years, I kind of drifted over this way a little bit and kind of slid over that way a little bit, but and I did my own thing. But I remember when I made up my mind for myself. I had a lot of them old church sisters with the hair piled way up here and bobby pins stuck all in this, and you know, and I had a lot of them making decisions for me. Because they knew when I come to church, that devil needs God. And they were right. I lived up to my reputation hard. I'd sometimes ease into the church and sit on that back row. And some of you can probably identify with this. And man, I don't care what I did. I couldn't even camouflage myself. There was always a big target painted on me. And buddy, as soon as the preacher got through preaching, guess what? Here's somebody come for me, trying to get me in the altar and pray me through. But it was so empty. You know why? Because it wasn't my decision. But when I made the decision that I needed His grace, that I couldn't make it without the mercy of God in my life, that, my friend, is when a change took place in me. It went beyond, amen, drinking every other night. It went beyond the partying. It went beyond, amen, smoking this and smoking that. It went beyond all these things. And it reached in and it began to work and it transformed my life. I don't know who this is for today. I don't know exactly, amen, the situation of every person in this room, but I believe that God has sent me here on this Sunday morning to remind somebody that His grace and His mercy is free this morning, that the price has already been paid. You can't do too much. You can't go out and live in such a way that His grace and His mercy cannot reach you here on this Sunday morning. Clap your hands and praise Him right now. I'm glad this morning that one day His grace and His mercy forever changed my life. There's nothing in this world that can compare to the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody this morning that maybe in the last several days, maybe in the last week or two, maybe you've sat down with yourself and just maybe took an evaluation of the things that God has done for you and how good God has truly been? I said, well, September 28th was the year that my wife passed away. And I talk about it all the time. Maybe it's for me more than anybody else, but it also helps others at times when you're dealing with loss of somebody that's dear to you. But after losing my wife and having to try to deal with that, there was times, and there are still times, where I fight and deal with loneliness, where I have certain issues that, you know, I wish that she was there, that I could, you know, just kind of talk to her about it. And, you know, kind of, you know, she could kind of take the edge off me. She could kind of let me know, bring me back down where I need to be, and, you know, kind of set me straight. I have to have somebody set me straight, and I had to get my daughter. Now she has to travel with me, try to set me straight. And God help her, 24 years old. She's got a job on her hands. But dealing with grief, dealing with loneliness, Pastor Brian, dealing with these things, it's cruel. It's a part of life. It's something that everybody in this room, if you haven't dealt with it, one day you will. And I was thinking the other day, drove by and I pulled into a cemetery and I went and I stood there a few minutes just reminiscing, if you will. And I was thinking about this and it came across my mind. You know, as tough as it is, as difficult as it seems, how much more difficult would it be if it wasn't for His grace and His mercy? How much more difficult would the situation be in your life today if you were absent of His grace and mercy? Some of you have walked in this room. I know what I feel in the spirit. You've walked in this room and you're at the end of your line. You're at the end of your rope. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe it's mentally, maybe it's financially. I don't know the situation, but I know how life is. Maybe you feel like you can't live another day like you've been living. You can't deal with the same thing that you've been dealing with. Can I remind you today that heaven has a gift with your name on it? Heaven has a gift with your name on it, and it's specifically for you. His grace and His mercy is something that we can never, ever, ever do something in our lives that will diminish it or cause it to be absent from us. Now, the way I was raised and brought up, you know, certain things, if you did, you know, there was impardonable sins, and you couldn't, you know, obtain the mercy of God anymore. You couldn't obtain forgiveness anymore. Some of you know where I'm coming from. There were certain things you did, you know, you could forget it. I believe the only sin you can't get forgiveness of is the sin you don't ask forgiveness for. Because His grace and His mercy and His blood covers it all. I said His grace and His mercy and His blood covers it all. The only sin you can't get forgiven, I don't know who in the world, it's not in my notes, I don't know who I'm saying this to, but you need to hear it, I'm going to repeat myself. The only sin you can't get forgiveness for is the sin you don't ask forgiveness for. His blood is still strong enough to wash away every sin that has ever been committed in the lives, amen, of human beings. There's nothing that His blood cannot cleanse and wipe out. You believe that today? Clap your hands and love Him. Too many individuals have grace and mercy confused. While they're very similar in definition, they're quite different. They aren't quite the same. Mercy is simply God punishing us for a sin that should require punishment. Mercy is simply God not punishing us for something that should require punishment. That's mercy. Grace, on the other hand, is God's blessing and favor on us despite the fact we don't deserve it. There's not a person in this room that deserves God's grace. There's not a person in this room, amen, that does not, amen, deserve or does deserve the mercy of God. But God's grace and mercy is not given to us predicated on who we are and what we've done. It is given to us. Why? Because He paid a price. It's what, amen, it's what this season introduces to us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Why was this done? Because there needed to be a way, a sacrifice, so that our sins could be forgiven. So that you and I can have a relationship with the one, the giver of grace and mercy. See, we want to be dealers of God's grace. Many times there's people that want to be dealers of God's mercy. We want to try to deal God's grace and mercy like Las Vegas card dealers. It's not ours to deal with. It's not ours to give or take away. We are reminded in Romans chapter 9, verse 15, it says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So I'm going to take the pressure off of some of us here today. It's not your decision who receives grace and mercy. I was saying a little earlier, I remember some of the little church sisters. You keep on living the life you live, and God's not going to forgive you of your sin. That was the biggest lie they ever spit in my ear. But part of the time, I believed it. So, Brian, I'd go out there and be crazier. You're past the point of no return. You're almost there. I remember one lady, she was about this short, but her hair was this tall. She was taller than me if we went by her hair. Little lady, sweet as she could be at times, but she would always come for me. And I never forget Pastor Brian, she told me one day, she said, you're almost to the point of no return. I thought, my God, I didn't know you got crucified and you shed blood for me. That's what I was thinking in my mind. I did have enough sense to know that she didn't do all that for me. But if I was to go on what she said to me, I'd feel hopeless. He said, I have come that you may have life. And life, what? More abundantly. Not just abundant life. Now, abundance, that's a broad definition of abundance, what abundance can mean. He said that you would have it more abundantly. Amen. I remember the day that I truly came in contact with His grace and mercy. It transformed me and changed the course of my life forever. It changed me. It changed the way I thought about things. It changed my perception of things. It changed everything about me. There's somebody in this room right now. God's grace and His mercy can be applied to you this morning before you walk out of these doors and get into your car and go home. Your life can be transformed forever. I remember one night I was 21 years old. Man, I just got home about 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I was doing some crazy that night, what I could remember. I knew my life was going in the wrong direction, and my dad told me, you start coming in late and doing the things you're doing, you're not getting in this house. And he locked the door and I couldn't find the key. And here I am 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't even know how I got home, but I just knew the doorknob wasn't working. I turned it and it wasn't moving. My grandmother and grandfather lived right down about 100 yards from my house. We all lived on the same place. My grandfather had about 75 acres and we all lived there on the place. Now my grandmother, she was one of them little short ladies, but she believed the mercy of God. She never told me I was past the point of no return. Now she kicked me in the pants a few times. But she was never so rough that she felt like a person could go too far beyond the reach of God. I remember that night, just something. I went down to her house. I knocked on the door. I said, maybe I can get in this, in the door here. And they didn't hear me. So I just went around the back side of the house. And I sat there at the base of her window. And I just leaned up against that brick house, that brick wall there. And as I was sitting there, I began to hear her praying. It was in May of the year, it was in the spring of the year, and the windows were opened, and I could just hear her praying. She wasn't praying for more money. She wasn't praying that her bills would be paid. She wasn't praying for this one or that one. She was praying for me. What timing God had that night. Pastor Brian, I was sitting there up against her window, and I heard her praying, God, whatever it takes, save that boy. God, get his attention. Let him know that you love him. And I never forget her saying this next. She said, wherever he is, she had no idea I was sitting outside her window. She said, wherever he is, she said, I know your arms can reach him. She said, wrap those arms around my boy and let him feel. And I use this sometimes when I pray for people. Never forget these words. She said, let him feel the warmth of heaven's embrace. And reveal to him that you love him unconditionally. And that you died specifically for him. Brian, I can never forget those words. I can recite them. And that's been well over 30 years ago. I hate to say. But I can still hear that little lady, about 5 foot tall, that little bun on her head, praying for her boy, her grandbaby. See, I was the boy she never had. Praying for her grandbaby to feel the love and experience the mercy and the grace of God. It was that moment that I sobered up quickly. I'm telling you, it's a lie. You say you can't sober up in 1 second. I sobered up just as soon as them words began to hit. I was in my right mind. And sitting at the base of her window, I really felt the grace and mercy of God for the first time. At 21 years old, went to church every time. My mama, she drug me to church every time the door was open. But it was 21 years later until I truly felt the grace and the mercy of God touch my life. There wasn't no charge for it. I didn't get an invoice or a bill in the mail. But it was already taken care of. Heaven already had a gift with my name. I'm here to tell somebody in this house you're hurting. The situations in your life that have you stretched. You feel that you're at the end of your rope, so to speak. Just let this 300 and plus pounder tell you a little something this morning and encourage you that his grace and his mercy, that immeasurable gift, there's one here today with your name. Why don't we stand together if we can? It's a priceless gift. It's a gift you can't find on the shelves this season. It's a gift you can't even get it from Amazon, believe it or not. It's a gift that can't be delivered to your door in a box or in a package. But it's a gift that only he can present to you. There's nothing any sweeter. There's nothing any more precious than the gift that God has in this room for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Would there be anybody would say, as we maybe bow our heads, close our eyes, just being in respect of one another, just do that with me quickly before I turn it over to Pastor Brian. Would there be anyone here today that would say, I'm going through some things right now, and I'm the only one looking right now. I'm going through some things in my life currently. I need to know that Jesus is right there with me. I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his grace and his mercy, that gift that you're talking about today, that there's one with my name on it, and that he will freely Amen. Present that gift, that grace, and that mercy to me this morning. I want you to slip your hand up quickly. I just want to see your face. I just want to see your hands. Hands going up. That's what I want us to do. I want us to just lift our hands toward heaven. Everybody in this room, you feel good about doing that, just slip your hands up. If you don't, you can just bow your heads. That's fine. But could we use our voice and just tell him, Jesus, I need your grace. And I need your mercy. Could you come in today and touch me like I haven't been touched in a long time? Could you allow me to sense and receive and feel that grace and that mercy and work in my life? Lord, I'm standing here today. I am in need of you. And God, I am openly positioning myself to become a recipient of your gift. Why don't we just lift our voice now as they're getting ready to sing? Why don't we just begin to thank you for it in advance right now? Come on, let's praise him on credit for that which he's about to do in this room right now, what he's already doing. Come on, I love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him I love you, Jesus. I worship you this morning. I praise you this morning. You're a wonderful God. You're the giver of grace. You're the giver of mercy. God, I want you to begin to present it to those that are in desperate need of it this morning. Remind them of how much you love them. Remind them of how much you care. Remind them of how close you are to them in their time of need today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing it this morning. Let's lift our voice. Come on, can everybody sing it today? Come on, sing it today.